I was planted in this place by a human with gentle hands. He buried my roots into the warm soil and pressed so that I was held. He towered over me then, a giant working alone in the forest. My roots grew into the soil, where I found the remains of the natives who had been cleared to make way for me. The light bark trees, who had been felled so we immigrants had a place in the mountains. But the lowest parts of us remain in the land long after our trunks and branches are gone. As I grew, my roots went deep and wide, and I drew up the memories of the trees who grew and fell and grew again in this place before me. Every now and then the giant would return, and over the years he grew small, as humans do. Soon he was able to lie beneath the shade of my branches. Of all the trees he'd planted, I was his favourite. Time passed, dawn and dusk, seasons and years. I reached for the sky, the only one of my kind in this place. The birches would call out to me with their nonsense, giggling if I responded. I grew accustomed to their silliness. Some of the trees don't speak. They're shy or perhaps unable. They just wave their branches like simpletons. The sycamores are good conversationalists, as is the elm across the clearing, though he is a little psychopathic, always threatening to drop limbs on people. Still, we would discuss the ways of the land and those who belong to it at length and in depth. But I liked the way my human spoke to me the best, and I longed for his visits. I was still a young tree when the humans went to war once again. They have no roots, you see, and so they go easily to other lands, a creeping invasive species, indifferent to sun or rain or soil. My human's name was called to serve. He wore a uniform and kissed a girl under my branches. They carved their initials into the bark of my trunk. He said something absurd about love eternal, and she laughed. The poor fool thought himself in love, and perhaps he was in that moment that is a human's life. I knew she would not wait for him. But I waited. For several seasons he did not come. The other humans who worked in this place spoke of battles in Kaysan and Long Tan, and I wondered about my little friend, missed the weight of his back against my trunk. He returned, changed. Humans age quickly, but his decay was pronounced. I welcomed him in my way, embraced him with my shade, the protection of my branches. He wept often, and as my roots absorbed the salt of his tears, I saw what haunted him so. He found comfort in me, I think. The fragile creature he'd planted, now large and strong and immovable. Immortal in comparison. I was solid and constant, unlike the humans he loved from time to time. He told me of trees in jungles and the sprays which left them naked in the sun, of villages, enemies, and children, of a return without welcome from those who'd sent him to fight. He was adrift, angry and lost, with no roots to anchor him and no way to grow towards the sun. He began to speak of a plan. It wasn't his, but the men who conceived it needed him to execute it. He was not a bad man, my human, but he was angry at his fellow men and his god and the hand he had been dealt by both. And I did not have the words to calm him. And so he joined them, an accomplice, a co-conspirator, a crucial brother in arms, for a share of the spoils, a portion of the risk, and a pledge of silence. But secrecy does not preclude confiding in a tree. To me he whispered his doubts and his hopes, the creeping regret which began when he agreed. But there was no retreat, just a doomed charge into the fray. Follow our orders, draw fire and take. For a short while he did not come to me, and I wondered if perhaps he had run, abandoned his position and fled, and I hoped for that. Hoped for him, because I knew he would be starved of light and unable to grow among these men he had joined. But he returned to me in the dead of the night, when all the creatures of the day are silent and unseeing. He shook as he scraped at the soil at the base of my trunk, and through my roots I tasted the blood on his hands. He dug through the night, weeping as he did so, and just before dawn he buried the spoils beneath my canopy. Then, exhausted, he rested his cheek against my trunk. "I'll be back," he said. "Keep it safe for me." And because I love him, I did what he asked. I wrapped my roots around the cache, lowered my branches like a cloak, and held it hidden from the world. And I waited. When he returned, it was not alone. He came with the men from the prison camp, on the hill that the humans named for a laurel tree. He came under guard and in irons, but he found a reason to work beside me, to lean against my trunk and murmur that he was paying his dues for the treasure I protected. He laughed as he told me they sent him to serve his time within reach of the proceeds of his crime. Together we would watch over it. I saw him only occasionally after that. There was not much work for the prisoners to do here, but I knew he was nearby. Then, one day, he was gone. He was not among the men from the prison, nor did I hear his voice on the wind, feel his footfall on the ground. He had left without his spoils and with no farewell. Seasons and years passed once again. I grew larger even as the world grew smaller and drier, a giant above the forest now, and still I kept his secret. There were many humans who enjoyed my shade, who spread picnic blankets over buried treasure, small humans who climbed my lower branches and built snowmen in the clearing. The sugar pines down the road a ways were particularly cherished, and I would hear them boast of their fame. It was quieter here, but there were those who loved this place too, who became familiar to us all. And yet I watched for my human. Then the mountains caught a light, and I wondered if he thought of me, his old friend, loyal to the last and trapped. Was he among the yellow-clad soldiers who battled to save us as the fire became a living thing, a predatory, unstoppable enemy? Had he returned to protect his favourite from the flames? And it was only then, as I knew mortal fear, that it occurred to me that my beloved human might have gone before me to oblivion. He'd buried his stolen treasure in terror of men he'd betrayed. Perhaps they'd found him. It had been so long, and the years do not sit well on humans. Perhaps he had decayed, crumbled as the rot set in. Perhaps he'd been felled or had shriveled in the sun. Even so, I called for him when the flame took the mountain ash and licked the base of the Japanese larch. For help or in farewell, I am not sure. As the sugar pines screamed and burned in the distance, I said goodbye to those who stood with me and prepared to join those who'd been engulfed. And I thought of the gentle hands that had first pressed my roots into the soil. But then, when all was lost in smoke and hell, the angry winds who breathed hot fury and roared havoc turned and sent destruction elsewhere. The inferno receded, and we few stood almost alone on a scorched and blighted land. Now humans come and gaze in awe at what remains, what has been saved. They press their faces against my trunk as they remember what was lost. Perhaps one of these faces belongs to my human, unrecognizable after all these years away, an old, old man worn by the years and the secret we have kept. Perhaps he does not dig in the ground for his spoils because he has returned instead for the friend who grows above it. Perhaps he is here, waiting to speak to me alone. Perhaps when you go, he will come.